Do you remember the woman who came by
with the balloons?
Yeah.
That was really not pleasant.
I was out there when that happened, and she was like, and I was like, what's going on? And then she was like, oh, hi, I just have balloons for Phil.
Yeah, I thought it was a delivery.
Oh, okay, no problem. And then I came in, and she was like following me, but we didn't have locked doors.
No, it was like an open space because it used to be an old dentist's office.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's why that entrance, the lobby, looked the way it
looks like a dentist's office.
It's a dentist's office.
Okay, that makes sense. But the way that she was acting was just like she had a delivery, for Phil, and so I was like, okay, well that's fine. And I went back inside and I didn't help her because I didn't know.
Because that's not your job.
It was sort of sketch, and I was like, I'm just going to let this play out and see what happens, because, if it is something bad, I don't want to be held responsible for being like, yeah, come on in, let me show you the office.
Yeah, that would be real, real
so
bad.
So I just was like, oh, okay, and then I scurried back inside and found... Was it Danny or Amanda? I don't know.
Wait, I know Danny always came out to deal with the people who just showed up.
But
Aaron, did you talk to Aaron? Because she would have been out.
Maybe
in the
front. It was Aaron. Yeah, maybe I was like, hey, there's some woman here for a package for.
Yeah, it was probably Aaron. And then Aaron probably talked to her and then went and got Danny. So Danny could be the bodyguard and be like, no.
Oh, fuck no. Yeah.
Yeah. Danny was always great for that.
Yeah, Danny.
But then we had those balloons in the office for like a month and a half.
Yeah, so then we
had. Because they wouldn't fall down.
Yeah, and then we had a whole bedding. Did that ever make it on anything? It probably made it on Phil's behind the scenes vlog.
Where we bet when it would fall. I don't remember if that ended up on their vlog.
We had $5 on who was on the person who could.
Yeah, I contributed it. I thought they would fall within 3 weeks, but no, they were up for a month and a half before they fell down.
I think Suptic ended up winning.
Because he picked the dumbest date.
Yeah.
He was the closest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he won it out of, by default, because by the time the balloons fell, his was the farthest date.
Yeah.
His was the longest out date, but they outlasted pretty much everybody who put up numbers. It was crazy. How many?
They were good. You know what? She had good taste in balloons.
Good balloons.
I mean,
did she want a job?
She wanted a job. Because that week or the week before, Phil casually mentioned on either his show or the vlog
that
they were going to
start hiring
again, and they were actually going to look toward the fans, which was but it was such an offhand comment. I don't think he wasn't really thinking about it.
Yeah.
But also, even with that sense, it's not actually directly from the fans. It was, you still had to fill an application.
Yeah, there's still
and
a
go
whole
through
process.
But people and she was an older lady, and she went with the old school route of where back in the day it might be prudent to show up at an office and make yourself known, kind of thing. But that's not how that works anymore.
No, especially with the industry that being the way it is now, and also with all of the things that we worry about when strangers show up to offices or send people things in the mail.
Like anything with popular media or even an YouTube celebrity, which I'm even though it's weird to say celebrity, but in a sense it is still celebrity when a lot of people are watching a particular person or people. Having strangers show up at a place of work is not a good idea. Always be invited. It's like vampires.
Wasn't there somebody it's like vampires.
You should be invited in.
You should always be invited. Weren't there people waiting outside of the studio at some point for people during
there were a few times where fans would wait outside. Even though still not okay, but at least they didn't come inside.
Right. That's the thing. It's where's that line?
I think mostly because they weren't sure if that was the actual office.
Right.
Because it doesn't
know.
Look
yeah.
like it.
No.
You're like,
oh,
what
God.
Is this?
It looks like a, yeah, it looks like nothing. And there's no signage
there
anywhere.
Was, yeah. I think we mentioned this before. Yeah. There was the kid who drove all the way from like halfway across the country.
Yeah, I remember talking about
and
that.
And that was his first stop.
That's right.
There was the girl who her dad made her come in.
Yep. And her I remember us talking about that one too.
And...
That was the only experience I had while I was there.
There was the bomb threat, which now we could talk about because that office doesn't exist anymore.
Did we ever talk about that?
Vaguely. And even then, I don't know if we should say all the details because of who like the package was sent to. I don't think we should say who this package was sent to.
But there was a package.
But a package was sent to with an assortment of weird ass shit. But what was funny about it is that everyone just kind of, no one took it seriously from the get go, even though like after inspecting it later, like, oh shit, that could have, oh, because it was like a mismatch of like, it looked like shrapnel essentially.
Yeah. It was a bunch of just
shrapnel and cartridges and things like that. And at some point, I guess I'll say this because I don't think he would care, but like Subtic took it and like threw it against the wall.
Yeah. To see if it blew up.
To see if it would do anything. And you're like, what? Why? And like even at the time, because I remember recording it and I never put it in the vlog because afterward we're like, we shouldn't probably advertise that that's a thing that could happen. It was just like, oh wow, we were all real dumb. We were real dumb for not taking. And then like it took a bit, and then we all came to our senses. Like, you know what? What if this was clearly it's not a bomb, but it looks like it was intended to either scare or, you know, it was just not okay.
Scary.
So we called the cops, and then because by that time we had thrown it out to the dumpster out back, which is good that we did that at least, because otherwise we would have all had to evacuate the building and it would have stopped you guys from editing all the shows for the day. Yeah, so like that that sense, it was good that we put it outside.
We did evacuate for a little bit.
We evacuated for a little bit. We had to evacuate the building next door. So Kane and Wiener already like hated us. We were like, what?
Oh yeah. We were next to Kane and, by the way, great name.
Yeah. Kane
and Wiener.
They were an insurance company. They would go after people who wouldn't pay their medical bills. So not a great company.
Yeah.
hopefully they will never sponsor this podcast.
Sponsored by Kane and Wiener.
Yeah. the cops came out. They like interviewed all of us who interacted with said device.
Yeah. I don't think I even knew that it existed at that point. I think we got evacuated and I didn't know.
Oh no, we were all goofing on. I think I might have that footage just on my computer somewhere of all of us just fucking around with that damn like pieces of metal and thing. And then the person
it
who it was sent to like was not pleased, obviously.
No.
And I think that was part of why everyone was joking around with it, to like make sure that they better about the situation, because it was not okay. It was definitely not okay. We found out afterward because the cops did do their job and like found the person who sent it and all the stuff.
Oh, really?
And interviewed the guy, and it was a very old man who lived somewhere in the middle of the country, and his excuse was apparently he was not mentally well.
Okay.
And he said it was a piece of art that he was submitting, a piece of art. Because I guess on like a common commentary or two, like
somebody
because
asked.
Everyone always asks, send art.
Oh, send art.
Send art, which is part of all the common commentary. So he thought he should send in some art. And it was that. And it was, yeah, it was. But I don't remember if they like arrested him or anything along those lines.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he definitely was like contacted,
yeah,
and I think
and
like
made aware that was
made
not
aware
okay.
It was not okay, and there might have been like a, there might have been some type of charge, like, but in the sense of like it ended up being where you're not allowed to like send anything.
Yeah,
it was out of state and all this stuff.
How that happened? Yeah, because there was something weird that happened, but it was all I heard. So I was in the editing room. And then I heard we were being evacuated. And I was like...
Yeah, but you guys are in the middle of edits. You're like, but we have to finish
these
things.
What's happening?
Yeah.
And I knew that person had gotten a package. But I didn't know...
Yeah,
There was like talk of things. And I heard things going around. I even walked in the room when it was there. But then afterwards, we had the package.
Yeah, like, it was a small box. Like, it didn't... I mean, like everybody would get... Literally everybody would get mail at some point.
Yeah.
Like, if you were on camera at some point... He got mail. Like, And so, and it's usually nice. It was usually nice things. Yeah. So the fans were just like, oh, I like you guys. And they would send like cool things. Mind you, I don't think if anybody ever sent, like if you sent a baked good, I don't think anybody ever ate it.
Yeah.
Unless it was like definitely a sealed package.
Yeah, unless it was like food like, from the store.
Yeah, like if you sent Tim Tams or Tam Tams, what are those called? And they were definitely like
Tim Tams.
Tim Tams, one of those. Those were sealed. Those were eaten immediately. Yeah. So like Mod stuff had like first that.
Dibs on those.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like if they were like a sealed package, clearly from a store, good to go. Anything that was like homemade or baked, it was kind of like we gotta be like safe about that.
By the way, welcome back to We Stayed Late.
Oh yeah, that's right. Hi, welcome to We Stayed Late.
We always forget to intro. I'm Starlene. I'm Spencer, and Luis is still at work, or he might be on his way now.
He said he's on his way.
Oh, he did.
He did say he was on his way.
Great.
Essentially, no, his words were, "Start without me, I will be there." Or something.
I'll be
like
there. Yeah.
So we shall see when he shows up.
So I did something yesterday that I always think about doing, but I never actually do not never.
Okay.
I've done it a couple of times and almost every time it's paid off.
Okay.
I have
no idea what category or thing that you're talking about.
So I was walking down the street. I'm taking the subway now to work, which is great. It's great. It's so good. I don't have to drive. I get to like do other things while I'm waiting to get to work.
The commute's about the same, right?
It's an hour for me whether I drive or whether I take the subway.
Okay.
And I get to sit and work on whatever I want or read.
Because that particular route, it's above ground for a good chunk of it or something?
It's below ground for the first half and then above ground for the second half.
Okay.
So it's great. It's fine. As long as I'm not leaving after like 8 and then the things don't run until like every 40 minutes or whatever, but that's fine. It's still fine. It's fine. But it's been really good cause I've been walking more cause I get to walk back and forth.
Yeah.
To the station.
You should get back into Pokemon Go, by the way, if you haven't,
it would be very beneficial with this cause I do walk a lot now. But yeah, so because I'm walking more, I see more things and mm-hmm. the subways are always very interesting,
right?
In fact, the first day I was at this, I was riding the subway. I was sitting behind this guy, and then there was a guy sitting like 3 or 4 rows in front of him. Oh, we got a barker. Murphy, stop.
Maybe that's Luis.
Maybe. There was a guy
or
sitting.
It's just random.
Or it's
sounds.
Just the wind. Murphy, hey. We're trying to record a podcast here, so... Oh, what? He's like, I'm just trying to protect you. He's got like 3 or 4 rows in front of this other guy who's sitting right in front of me. And an empty seat to his right on the other side of the aisle.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Of the guy that's closest to me.
Okay.
And so this guy gets up 3 or 4 rows in front, turns around, and is like, dude. And he like walks over to him and he gives him a high five. He's like... I just got out. He was like, oh, you missed it. He's like, I can't believe you got it. He was like, yeah, like it's been 3 weeks. He's like, I can't believe you missed it. He's like, right after you left, they named 2 people, got in a huge fight. And like, there was a da 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 going on and on. And I figure out that these 2 guys were in prison together or like jail together. I don't know if they're in prison, but they were like incarcerated together.
Oh.
And they're just like, hanging out,
they're
talking.
Like, oh shit, my buddy.
Yeah, they were like in the same cell block,
or at
together,
least like same like
area.
Situation. Oh,
yeah, but they
man.
Were like friends. But yeah, that was my first experience riding on the subway, and I was like, this is crazy.
I mean, that's neat.
Yeah.
Speaking of like former incarcerated people, last week I went to the Homegirl Cafe for the first time.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is in downtown LA, and it's like it's by Homeboy Industries, mm-hmm. And they're a organization that helps former gang members or people who've just been recently incarcerated. They help them get jobs, so that they like earn skills and stuff. Because a lot of places won't hire people who have been incarcerated,
totally.
So they do, and give them like actual work skills and things like that, and help them find like jobs. And I went to their cafe, which is all run by people like that, and it was really good.
Yeah.
It was really good, and it was just like, oh, there should be more places like this. This is really like helpful and great for a community, and everyone there like even though, like, occasionally it was kind of jarring to see someone with, like, full face tattoos just being like, how can I help you? Totally. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because that's just not, like, a visual you expect to see. Right. But it was just like, oh, all right, yeah. Like, once, like, it hit, you're like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Like, it was fine. I think the last person, I think I saw someone with full face tattoos serving, like, just like, hey, like, I'm a customer service person, was in Florida. There was a pizza shop in Gainesville. Like, but they were punk. Like, there was less, like it was just, it was shop. Like a punk place where, like, yeah, we're like a punk, then we serve pizza. Yeah, and it was like, all right, cool. Still drawing. So, like, anything with food service and full face tattoos, I was just like, oh, all right. But then I was like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
When I was living in downtown years ago, 3-4 years ago, something like that now, right below my apartment, because there's like the apartments on top of stores, right below my apartment was a Homeboy. Like cafe, so we go there all the time and eat. And I had no idea until like 3 or 4 times after going there, and I was like,
Now
suddenly things make sense because they're like all tattooed.
And it was, and like their big deal is that like it could be like rival gangs, whatever. Yeah. Like they don't care. Yeah. They're just like, if you want, like, we're gonna help you. And part of the process is like also like you don't fight with your former gang. Like it's just, it's a very like, they also provide like mental health support and like just community. And so it's like, hey, that's, you're so going through some stuff, and like, we'll come here and talk to
it's like a job, but it's also almost,
it's a support,
in a way, like,
it's literally a support system. And I was just like, that's so good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's so good. I want that everywhere, and I want that for like everybody, to be honest. I'm like, hey, support groups for all peoples, and it would be cool.
And that group is specifically notorious for being difficult to get back on their feet, because they've been if they've been treated poorly by society in the way that they, like,
you go back to wherever you could get support at, and if your supports are like violent gangs, you're just gonna be like, well, this is the only place that'll have
me. And people treat
and
them
bad.
So poorly because of being in prison, that it's like, what other choice do I have to make money except to go back and do things that are illegal, because no legal place will hire
me. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I've been exploring a lot of, like, been experiencing a lot more culture because of that. And I was walking down the street back from work towards the subway.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a, it's probably like a quarter mile to the subway or so. It's not that far, but but you walk down the street for a good ways. And so as I'm walking, there is a, one of those little huts for, not huts, but like overhangs for a bus stop.
Yeah.
Right? And there's benches.
Yeah.
And there's papers on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
All over. And, in the bus stop. But then there's some that have scattered about on the sidewalk where I'm walking.
Uh-huh.
And one of them was a folded up piece of paper that had writing on it.
Okay.
And I don't, like, there's a part of me that always wants to stop and be like, what are those pieces of paper? I'm going to collect all of them and read them. And I don't ever do it. But this time I looked down and I was like, I'm picking up that piece of paper that's on the ground that clearly somebody had handwriting. Like, it has
somebody
handwriting.
Somebody wrote it.
Somebody wrote on it. I'm going to pick it up and I'm going to put it in my pocket and I'm going to read it later.
What was it?
So I picked it up and I put it in my pocket. And then it was getting late. And so I had to hurry to the train station. And so I did. And I was like, the train was leaving, and I like barely got on and sat down and had a podcast in and forgot.
Okay.
And then got home.
Okay.
And read it.
Uh-huh.
And I have to go find it really quick. It's amazing. Okay.
Okay.
Hold on.
Go find it. Go find it.
I'm looking. Oh God. I think it's in the bedroom. Hold on.
What do you guys think this note could be? I'm currently thinking it's somebody's to-do list, like groceries. Or like just a shopping in general thing.
Go? I know I have it. Somewhere.
It's possibly maybe somebody's manifesto, or I mean, it's LA, so it could be somebody's script ideas that they're writing and outlined.
I thought it was gonna be one of those.
You know, because that happens a lot. Although I'm surprised it's on paper if that was the case, because everybody just brings their laptops to a Starbucks. I'm just trying to keep talking so that there's no dead air for this podcast. I don't know if any of you guys have been to like, I don't know how common it is for you guys, but every coffee shop here is always filled with, like, writers in general.
Oh, yeah.
And sitting on their laptops doing their thing. And I kind of always wanted to, like, go up behind them and read what they're doing. But half the time, I'm sure they're just browsing on the internet. because that's what I've done. When I'm like, I'm going to bring my laptop to the coffee shop and draw here. Which, ooh, I should do that again. That would be a good idea. Did you find it?
Where did it go?
Mysterious note.
Oh, is it gone forever?
If Spencer can't find this note, then you guys should write your own notes and mail it to the P.O. box. Which is shit. What's the P.O. box? Now I'm looking on my phone for this P.O. box. Where's Luis? Luis! Luis, where are you? Yeah, send us your scrap notes to the P.O. box, which is P.O. box 963, North Hollywood, California, 91603.
Man, I can't believe I can't.
Do C slash O, we stayed late, but like put my name on it. It's gone forever. It's a D&D thing. It was magic. It was a magic note. You were supposed to read it then and you didn't. And it's gone.
No, I did. I read it. I got home and I read it. And it was amazing.
Oh.
I can't find it. Okay, so I'm going to explain it.
I was going to say you could save it until you do find it and save it for the next podcast.
I don't know if I'm going to find it, though. That's the thing. Like, it was just a folded up piece of paper that may have gotten thrown out. Where would it be? Okay, well, I'll just explain it. So, it's the second page, because it says page 2 on it.
Okay.
And it's a long, like, legal-sized piece of lined paper.
Okay.
Okay?
Was it yellow?
No, it was like binder paper.
Okay.
But long.
So an 11 by 17 sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Page 2.
No, it was 8.5 by 14, something like that.
Okay.
It's long.
We need
all the
details of this piece of paper.
The handwriting was very large and curly.
Uh-huh.
And, top left corner said page 2. And then there's an entire scrawl down that page. Like, the entire page was filled.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from this piece of paper is that there was a man.
Uh-huh.
And that man had a child or children. I think it was children. I think it was multiple children. And he and the children both missed the children's mom.
Okay.
And the letter was to the children's mom from the man.
Uh-huh.
And she was apparently shacking up with some other dude.
Oh, my gosh. You found drama.
Yeah. And had left. And he was basically like, look, like, I miss you. They miss you. I love you. I need you to come back because I want to marry you.
Uh-huh.
And, our kids want to see you. And I know you're there with some other dude. I know you're, like, off with some other guy. But, like, I want to marry, like, he wants to be with you, but I want to marry you. So basically, like I know that I've wronged you in the past, and I know before I didn't say I wanted to commit, but like,
I mean, you have kids, you're kind of committed.
Yeah. He was like, but
holy
I'm ready.
Shit.
I just need you to, I need you to come back to me.
I don't know. It sounds like he fucked up.
Yeah.
If he's like, I know in the past I was just like, if you have kids and you weren't committed, there's no, like,
yeah,
I kind of like,
it's
I mean,
weird.
I'm, yeah, now I want to see this note because I need to know if, like, is he raising the kids and she just dipped? Or are the kids still kind of with her and they do like a shared custody situation and she's just like, I've moved on.
I don't know.
Or were they even her kids? Are these his other kids? Because it might be like he's had kids with other people.
No, I think he's saying your kids.
Yeah, but that could be.
Or our kids. Yeah, it could be.
It could be like he has kids and he, like, she was like the stepmom kind of situation.
I don't know. The what I got from the note was that it seemed like they were her
kids
too. But that could have very well. I mean,
yeah.
There's not a lot of context.
There's
one page.
And the
letters are really big. So the writing was really big.
Yeah. If it's her kids, then yeah, come home and like, I'll take care of your kids.
Yeah.
But if like not, then like, oh, screw
but
that guy.
Also,
like you
he
move
could,
on. He moved on.
But also like he could be a total asshole.
Yeah.
Or also she could be
playing him. Like,
it,
there's
it could
so
be,
many,
there's so many versions of this,
I didn't
this scenario.
Get, I didn't get the full picture from this page, but what I did get was, like, a man pleading for this woman to come back and be with him, which is really fascinating.
That is fascinating.
And a good payoff for picking up
a piece of paper off the
one
street.
One piece of paper on the street.
Oh,
so,
man. Was there any names? Was there anything, like, identifying?
Yeah, there was a name. Her name was Fern.
Fern.
Yeah.
Fern.
F-E-R-N.
Oh.
So, I
oh,
didn't...
Oh, God. I wonder how old could they have been for him to write the note out on paper and not, like, type it or email it?
I don't...
Fern so, is an old name.
Yeah.
Fern sounds like Fern sounds like a minimum, like, a 45 to, like, an older
yeah.
name.
There were a lot of misspellings in the letter.
Yeah.
And but it was written in cursive, which was interesting.
So old. That's an old person. Because no one writes in cursive anymore.
Yeah, and lots of N-words.
Oh.
Being dropped.
Huh. That's still old.
Yeah.
That's an older I hopefully if he's doing all a lot of N-words, hopefully he is African American.
Yeah.
Cause otherwise that's not,
you shouldn't be doing
not
that.
Okay. But yeah, probably older.
But he was using, I mean, not that it makes any better if he wasn't.
With the GA?
He was using it with the GA, and he was also using it to refer to, like, positive things.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then
like,
he's probably most definitely, like, yeah. an African-American
yeah.
man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have to assume older, because it's, yeah. like, it's in cursive, which is weird. And the person's name is Fern.
Yeah.
Fern. Man, that's a good name.
It was in blue ink, too,
I kinda
which
wanna...
is weird.
Blue ink's fine.
But it was just
it's
weird
like
because
pen
it was like,
you get.
Yeah, I guess so.
I kind of want, we got to include the name Fern somewhere now because I'm
yeah.
like, I like that name. I
yeah,
was like,
a,
oh yeah, Fern's a solid name.
Anyway,
oh,
it was a fascinating payoff for just like stopping for a moment and picking up a piece of paper.
Maybe
and
you'll
I didn't
find
pass
part
by,
three.
I didn't pass by the same place today because it took a different route.
Oh.
Because there was construction.
Yeah.
Blocking the way, but it'll be gone tomorrow because it was just like, they were just moving stuff. So tomorrow I'm going to see if I can find more.
Yes, please
they're
do.
Everywhere.
This
so,
is amazing. I want to, yeah. I mean,
I did see when I was walking by, there were envelopes that were ripped open.
You know what it might have been? It might have been, this is my theory on how the letter ended up there.
Okay.
It was clearly written in somebody's home and they threw it out in their trash. But a lot of the homeless population, they will go through people's garbage, mostly looking for like plastic bottles and things like that. So they could get the coinage from the recycling situation. But a lot of times people will go through like the letters and stuff looking for like bills, things like that, and for identity theft kind of thing. So it might have been in the situation where somebody went through somebody's garbage, picked up like whatever they could find, and then like at the bus stop either used those papers like as like a shelter. Because you said you found them all over the place. And
okay.
bus stops are used to sleep on a lot.
Yeah.
So it could have been like along those kind of lines.
It looked
and then
like
it just ended
there
up
was,
there.
In the bus stop, it looked like there was like a book bag that had been torn open. It was like on
yeah.
the ground that was torn open. And a bunch of medical books like photocopies of medical books.
Whoa. Okay. Spewed
all about. And that was most of the papers were these photocopies of a medical textbook.
Interesting.
And then there were a couple pieces of paper that were lined, handwritten things. And I didn't grab anything from the textbook thing because I was like, this doesn't really.
Yeah.
I don't really want this, but I do want that
yeah,
handwritten
thing.
Yeah,
it sounds like going through somebody's recycling or going through somebody's random garbage.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. Anyway, I'm going to look for more because I'd like to continue the
yeah,
the saga.
That's amazing.
I don't know if I'll find, I mean, maybe I'll find like part four or something and have to piece together the middle, but who knows? There were multiple letters that were open, like envelopes that were open mm-hmm. on the ground. So maybe it was multiple letters that were being sent back and forth and they were just.
Maybe. I mean, like he didn't send that particular letter. So who knows?
Well, no, I mean, I think. Hey, I think maybe the letter was just left in the envelope after it was opened.
Oh, maybe she got it?
She got it, and then it got thrown out.
Thrown out. Oh.
Hey.
Oh, that's even more intriguing. So
that's what I think. I think she got the letters.
And she was just like, no, fuck this noise, and she threw it out.
Yeah, maybe.
Which I don't blame her, because, like, those type of things too. Like, honestly, whenever I hear situations where somebody, especially if he says he knew he messed up and he's like begging for her back, those tend to happen in a lot of like abuse situations where they're like, oh, like I've changed, I won't do that anymore. And it's just like, oh, she might have left for a reason. Yeah,
for sure. My other thought is that maybe she was there and her book bag broke and it had the letter in it.
Oh.
And maybe the papers just sort of went everywhere and her bus was there and she was just like, well, fuck it. And left it. That's the other thing that I think is possible.
Oh, that would be...
And I don't know what's right, but all of them are intriguing.
Well, I hope Fern is going to medical school and those are her copies and that she didn't like...
Yeah, right? It's like, it tells the whole story.
And that she didn't like mess up like not having those copies because if that was her homework, that also sucks.
Yeah.
Man.
But like that sort of is like, is she like trying to pull herself up and out? And so she's going to medical school to try and like become... a nurse or a doctor,
like,
and so she's trying to leave this old life behind and do that, but this guy keeps calling back to her and they have kids together, and so she's like torn between like, do I do the medical school and try and pull myself up out of this bad situation, or do I go back to my kids? I don't know. Good little story though.
It also depends on how old. It's weird for me in my head. I'm like, how old are your kids? Because I'm like, if they're like little, ooh, that's hard. But if they're like teenagers, a part of me is just like, no. I mean, that's still shitty.
Yeah,
that still sucks. But
I think at any age you'd like to have your parent back.
Yeah,
I don't know if there'd be an age where you go, nah, I don't really care.
Well, what if they're? But unless like your parents feel shitty.
Yeah, I guess so. If they're real shitty, then
I'd be like, oh, maybe it's good that they left.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe it's good they got out. Anyway, that was my very exciting adventure from the subway.
That's awesome. I hope you have more subway adventures. It feels like a quest every time.
Oh, so. Why are you barking so much today, huh? He just popped his head over the table and then back. Hey.
I guess there's just a lot of noise.
Hold on, I'm going to go get him. Hey, what's going on? Come here.
Okay. He's just running away and escaping. The visual right now is Murphy running around the apartment and Spencer chasing Murphy.
Okay.
And now he's grabbed Murphy and has a puppy baby in his lap.
Oh, I got a puppy. Okay. Oh, boy. All right. So today I was on the subway.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this dude who was pitching his life insurance. He was apparently selling life insurance.
Okay.
Trying to sell life insurance on the subway.
That's hard.
And so he just kept talking like he was talking to somebody next to him or to somebody like across the way.
How many sales do you think that guy makes based on that technique?
I can't imagine any because everybody was like, is he talking to me or is he? Because he wouldn't make eye contact with anybody specifically. He'd just be like, hi, I'm here to tell you about PHP. Aww. It's the people helping people. I'm selling life insurance for the people helping people. We can help you. But then he would go on for like 30 minutes.
Aw, buddy.
With his spiel. And I was like, he just kept talking. And everybody around us was like, how? He's been talking the entire train ride. It was nuts.
A, that's amazing. But also, whoa.
Yeah.
Also, a part of me wishes that, like, that baby driver was real because I would imagine him recording this guy's speech and then making, like, music out of it.
Oh, yeah. No, that totally would have been.
Because it sounds like he would be in, like, a really monotone, kind of, like, drony kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I just found it. Okay, so it's called PHP, the People Helping People Agency.
Is it another agency that, like, employs people who are pretty much unemployable?
I don't know. We're going to make it cool to be a life insurance agent. Patrick Bet David, CEO.
Oh, that sounds like a scam.
Yeah.
That sounds like that guy was scammed.
There's 5,200 life agents in 49 states.
He probably paid to have all that stuff. Like, it's probably one of those, like, you pay to be part of the program. And
yeah,
then you have to do the sales.
It's a national financial services marketing company with a compelling two-part vision. Change the culture and diversity of the insurance industry and build the world's largest financial services marketing company
in history.
Sounds
like a scam.
Yeah, it does. Oh,
poor dude.
Unfortunately. There's a pamphlet here, a brochure, titled PHP Agency, The New Six Figures. And that, how it impacts your family.
Sounds like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah. Let me see. Oh, there's a Yelp review for it. Here we go. Pasadena. Here we go. One star.
Yeah, of course.
Lots of one stars.
Yeah, okay. Sounds like a big old
scam. They took advantage of the fact, this is Sharon O. From Rosemead, California. They took advantage of the fact that I wasn't very knowledgeable about life insurance and tax-sheltered annuities. They guaranteed me 4% interest on an annuity that he transferred my money into. Nothing but lies. Then they tried to cover it up with a bunch of jargon that only they can understand. Sadly, I was taken advantage of. I trusted the company at the time. The lady that helped me was just trying to get her promotion. I will never refer anyone here, nor will I trust people like them again. The company should rename itself.
I was like, that sounds like a...
People deceiving people. Another section.
Sounds like that Nutrisystem thing.
Yeah.
Which, if you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine, the last season kind of, like, they...
Touch on that?
They touch on companies like that, because there was a running gag throughout the whole series where Boyle is part of, like, this Nutrisystem thing, because it's, like, food-related, whatever, and then, like, they actually made it a plot point in the last season, and I'm like, wait, what? Oh, this thing that's been a running gag in the background?
That's crazy.
Is like the big baddie of like whatever the next season's gonna be. You're like, but
that's great.
But what? This is like nothing. This is a joke. Yeah. It's great writing. Great show. Awesome. But like, yeah, it's like with those systems where it's just like.
So I just
a
found
scam
it.
Where you spent a lot of money.
Shan L from Pasadena, California says, "Wow, what a load of ... They're a total pyramid scheme and nonstop harassers after I've asked them to leave me alone and let them know that I'm not an idiot. I've done my due diligence and I'm not as stupid as they had hoped. Any place that requires you to pay them to work for them is a fraud.
Yeah.
Any other viable and real insurance company or any company will pay you for higher learning and training. Beware. They prey on a certain type and as she expressed to me, I had her fooled and didn't fall into, quote, that type. I'm assuming one with half a brain. Run, Forrest, run.
Oh.
Good reference there, Shan L.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it sounds like it's probably like a...
Yeah, it sounds like a big old scam. Like, it sounds like... this is all my TV references. If you watch The Good Place, where Eleanor worked before she ended up in The Good Place... Because Eleanor's not a good person. If you don't know the premise of the show.
I don't know the premise of the show. Push me.
You should watch The Good Place. Oh, my God. That'd actually be a great reference for Ruby as well. But the premise of The Good Place is it's about the afterlife. And Eleanor, the main character, she ended up in heaven or the good place. They never say heaven or hell. They just say
the good place
and the bad place. And it seems like there was an error in the system where it's just like, oh, she definitely should have not ended up in the good place. Like, was like one of the worst people. Like, she's just a horrible human being. And now she has to navigate herself in the good place and not to be found out that she should not be there.
Oh,
so she's trying to figure out how to be a good person while in the good place. And you're like, oh, okay. And that's like the basic premise without going into like the pilot kind of thing. But it's the arc of that show and the characters in that show is just. It's brilliant and funny. It's
okay,
Kirsten.
It's
Kirsten.
It.
It's Kirsten Dunst.
It's Kirsten Bell.
Bell. That one. It's that the Kirsten, the one with the slot.
Yeah,
she's great.
Yeah.
great show. Highly recommend it. One of my favorite comedies. I'm looking forward to season 3 because it's. I don't know what they're gonna do. Like the premise of the show kind of changes quite a bit.
Oh, really?
Like.
It like shifts?
Yes. Because think about it. Like, there's only so much you can do after, like, you're like, oh, it's a bad person in heaven. How do they figure that out? And so, like, you kind of have to, like, and the way they navigate through all of what they navigate through is brilliant.
Yeah. That sounds like it's something that would be totally up my alley. I need to watch it.
Oh, yeah. So you would be all about the show.
So we just finished Glow.
Okay, I've heard good things about Glow. I have
it's
a friend
so good.
Who does the costume designs on it.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah,
I just finished it, and so we've been searching for a new show to look
please
to
watch
for.
A Good Place. Oh, my God. I would love to have a discussion about it, because it's just...
I'll watch it.
Great.
Okay, I just came across... I want to read this before we move on too much, because this is great.
Luis!
He's not here.
I'm trying to summon him.
He's going to make it right at the
end. If I say his name, maybe he'll just like pop in the door.
He's going to have to call us to get in.
Yes, true.
Okay, so this is Cindy T from... Did he call?
No, I was double checking. I was like,
Cindy T from Live Oak, California. Is sort of... It's not a novel, but it's definitely a long review. All right, let's do this. I got asked to come to a meeting through someone close to me because they were in it and were excited to tell me more.
Fucking pyramid schemes.
Sure, okay, I wasn't doing anything that Saturday anyways. Told me, dress business to business casual. Sure. Arrived. That sure was part of it. arrived, and like many reviews, the atmosphere was like a party. Loud hooter and howling.
He meant hooting.
Yeah.
Because one loud hooter is, that's a really big owl.
Cindy, who looks like she's a woman, I think. The hottest hits echoing through a pretty small office spaced. Yeah, okay. After some encouraging words, the, quote, guests were separated into a tiny office. Luckily, there was only three of us, but the moment they shut the door, sirens started to go off in my head. Now, I'm still in college, nearing the end, but working for it and working hard to utilize and have fun? Don't know. Of course, extra money would make anyone's day, but like many other people, I have common sense. Good job, Cindy.
Yeah.
It was about an hour presentation. First, a woman came in and talked about how the company changed her life and how she's easy coasting into working less and how she's easy coasting into working less and helped her family out of debt because she's made so much in a year. Then a gentleman popped in to swap out towards the end of the presentation. He concentrated on how the system works. Yes, you pull more people in to push you forward while you still push someone else above you.
Mm-hmm.
Talked very little about the life insurance products they sold because he used the excuse of, we'll go into detail during your field training. But here's the thing. Gentleman said that you had 1 year to get your license. One out of what was required, three, because, direct quote, people were still not getting certified. You had to get at least a 60% to pass on one license test. A 60% wouldn't let you graduate in some schools. They went from 90 to 80 to 70%, but people still wouldn't pass, so they had to opt out some tests and settle with 60%. He pushed recruitment so much that it started to disgust me. Asking very vague questions about how many people live in the U.S., how many trillion dollars are we in debt,
thing like, if you have this many people, imagine if only this percentage of people. Have you ever been to one of these meetings?
No. Anyways, they asked the other two people if they were interested. Both said yes. I said no because I have school and a job already. Dude said he would stay in touch with everyone. Funny thing, as we were walking out of the room, he'd say something encouraging to the other two, but then he looked at me with a straight face and said, "You're sharp. Sharp enough to not fall into your scam." Great, great writing.
Yeah.
It's great. If you don't know how life insurance works, YouTube it, or even YouTube what a pyramid scheme is. Also, there's a comment further below about how their CEO, Patrick Bet David, got burned out in California and had to move to Texas. Googled it. He gave a pretty long laundry list of excuses to why he was leaving. So
yeah, I've been to two of kind of like things, stuff like this. One when I was a kid, because I went with my mom. It was like same thing, but this was like a house party. It was like, come to this house party and we'll learn about this business, sort of thing. And maybe not even like still elementary school, but older elementary school, maybe right before going to middle school. So like that kind of preteeny.
Okay.
And so I went with my mom to this like house party, and sure enough, it was a nice house party. They had like, you know, hors d'oeuvres, all this stuff. And me as a kid was just like, oh, this is great. It was free snacks. And like, it's just a bunch of older ladies and like they're talking and I'm just like, all right, whatever. And then all of a sudden there's a presentation. And they play this video, and I forget what they were selling, but I just distinctly remember there was a part of the thing. They were like, there's good apples and there's bad apples, and you don't want to be a bad apple. And me being like a little kid, just like authority, is like, I don't want to be a bad apple.
Right.
But it was like, whatever it is, they're saying, same thing, like, come into this business. There was somebody in the group who like was already a part of it and was just like, yeah, this has really helped me. And like to try to get everybody in it. And by the end, I was sold. I was just like, we got to do this. And my mom looked at me and was like, no. But I was like horrible because like, that means we're bad apples. And she's just like, it's fine. And she like, and I think we left. And I don't think she talked to that friend who invited her to that party ever again. But at the time, I remember being like, really like feeling really bad about being a bad apple. And like, I was like, oh man, I was completely like, I mean, I'm a kid, so...
Right, it's easy to sort of...
It was so... Yeah. But it was like, oh, I see how you get people that way. Yeah. And then same thing, the second time I've been to one of those was after I just got out of college. I was looking for work, and these were... And I applied to jobs everywhere. And one of the jobs, like, this is one of the people that called me back, and I went to, like, one of these... Like, it was the same thing. It was like... But this was, like, more of a selling door-to-door thing. Like, you're selling tickets to things.
Huh.
Yeah. And so, like, I went to this interview and they were like, oh, okay, so the second part of the thing, interview, was that you have to tag along with somebody to see how they sell things. And I tagged.
Oh, like, sort of like a demo of the.
Yeah. And I tagged along and, like, halfway through, I was just like, oh, this is garbage. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go knock door to door and, like, try to sell, like, Marlins tickets to things. So, like, I was like, well, I'm going to go. And he's just like, oh, we're in the middle of nowhere. And I'm like, I'm fine. And like I call, because like that's the thing, it's like you're stuck with them because you parked at their office you're like off in the middle of nowhere. So like I left, and like this is pre Uber all this stuff, and I just called my mom. I'm like, mom, I'm like stranded in the middle of like Doral in Florida, like this was, you know, it's Florida, and she's like, I'm sure. Please come get me, this was a bad idea, this was bad, this was very bad. And she's like, oh, okay. And like she came out and she got me, and we went back to the place to get my car because it was a bad idea. I was like, oh, I'm not going to walk all day. Like, essentially spending a work day that I wasn't going to get paid.
Yeah.
To watch somebody sell Marlins tickets and constantly, like, I think we went to two offices because it was just go to this random building and kind of interrupt businesses to see if they want. It was soliciting.
Yeah, just soliciting. Literally just soliciting.
And I was just like, oh, no, I'm out. This is garbage. No.
I remember when I was looking for a job, and you sort of touched on this before, but, like, I remember when I was looking for a job, I got. It was like looking for people that are in the entertainment industry and want to like work in a stable office environment, be able to like have steady income. And I was like, oh, okay,
all those things
like an
sound great.
Assistant.
Yeah.
By the way, before I get into the story, Luis has texted me and he said, I just got off the metro with an upside down smiley face. And then I said, we're still recording. And then he said, I can make it.
Okay, we'll see.
So
this might be an extra long podcast, yeah, just so might, we can get so Luis in there. We don't have a sponsor today, right?
Nope.
So then it's fine. It'll be extra long.
Oh, yeah.
I won't be here next week.
Oh, you won't? Okay.
Yeah,
well,
so
there you go.
That'll be fine.
And I showed up at the office, mm-hmm. and they were like dress businessy. And so I got there and I was just sort of like, not creeped out, but I just had a weird feeling.
There's always a weird vibe to these places. All of them.
So weird. And so what happened was I went to the lobby of the building that it was in,
mm-hmm.
and there was nobody at the front desk, and they were like, it's on the third floor, in the email I got back. And I had email going, hey, what's the position exactly? Just so I know, and never got an email back. And so, because they were like, yeah, your resume looks great. Come on in. Right. And then
I
didn't get anything back. So it was sort of sketched out. There's nobody to tell me where to go when I got to the building, though it looked like a fairly decent building.
But like nondescript, like generic,
yeah,
like nothing.
So generic. And then so I got in the elevator. I went up to the third floor and I was like, I don't know where I'm going now. But I got out of the elevator and there were like 12 dudes that were of varying ethnicities and ages,
mm-hmm.
All lined up on the wall waiting for this one office that was like,
yeah,
it was like one small office,
yeah,
inside of a much bigger office area.
Yeah.
There was just like hallways, but the office that they were in was like in the area where it was personal offices. It
right.
wasn't like big offices. It
okay.
was like these people rent out a room with a desk and two chairs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's weird. But there were like a bunch of people in front of me and I had arrived a little bit early. So I decided that I was just going to wait it out and see what happened when the next person came out and the other person goes in and just see who the person was or what was happening. So I waited a little bit. I was standing in line and everybody was sort of confused and weirded out. And everybody was dressed
really
fancy.
Because everyone was like,
what
the fuck is happening?
And so then I saw a guy leave. And then I saw this dude step out and go next and bring the next person in. And the other guy took his resume and crumpled it up. And the guy left. Once the door closed, he like had another resume. He crumpled it up and just threw it in the trash can and left. And looked like mad.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So I never figured out what it was, but I was like, that dude
was like, this is bullshit.
Was like, this is bullshit. I'm getting out of here. And so I just left. And then two other people followed me. They followed. They saw this guy do it too.
They were
like, they left.
Huh,
but like,
all right, cool.
Two
this
other
is
people,
a waste of time.
Yeah. All three of us were like, fuck this shit. Why are we like, this is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, that was really weird.
Try to scam people. That's it. Like, just be good people.
And if you're looking, but I think the people that are listening to this aren't probably going to be the people to scam people. So I'm going to say to them, when you see those,
talking to like the universe, like it's just like,
no, I know. I'm turning it into actionable advice for the people listening to this. If you're trying to get into this industry and you're going to this, like, first of all, just be extra cautious of where it is that you are going, especially in LA, because there can be some, if you're getting off Craigslist or something like that, it can be really sketch.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, like,
this is reminding me, oh man, I haven't applied to game shows in a while.
Oh yeah.
I should do that again, because those are actually legit. Yeah, those are fun. You get day rates too.
Oh yeah, for sure. But make sure you know what the position's for and who the company is. Look them up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was I was like literally desperate for a job. I was basically running out of money and I was like, I need to make money. And so I was going on anything I could get. And I was too desperate. And I realized, like, you can't be that desperate.
Yeah, yeah.
But
because you'll end up losing more money.
If you feel sketched out, like, do your research. Sometimes there's not overreaction, but like sometimes it's, you know, it's more, you'll get feelings and they'll pan out to be nothing. But like a lot of times when I'd have those
trust
gut feelings,
your gut.
Yeah, trust your gut on those kinds of things. Cause it's, oh, we have a guest, but it's not who we think it is. Are they coming in? Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
We have friends.
Hello.
Hello. Luis is on his way. Hannah and her friend Victoria just walked in, and Luis is on his way, so we've been expecting him, so we heard the door, and I was like, oh, that's not him, because he wouldn't be able to break in like that.
No,
he doesn't have keys. But yeah, anyway, just make sure you're doing your extra research, because, man, that was weird and not okay. Anyway, there are some questions on the Slack that I wanted to answer. I was going to wait till Luis got here, but
he says he's on his way.
He said he was at the metro station. Oh, God, how long ago was this? My phone's not opening. Anyway, we'll ask him when he gets here. You and I will discuss it, and then we'll kick it to him when he gets here.
Okay.
So, Jules Run on the Slack,
mm-hmm.
Said this is tearing. Oh, is that Luis?
Is that Luis?
Here.
Yeah, he's here. Do you want to pause the recording?
It's okay. Can you let him in, Hannah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Even better.
Yeah, Hannah's going down anyway, so she's gonna let him in. Okay. So I'll wait. Actually, we can discuss this one really quick because this one's not as pertinent for Luis to actually. Luis could weigh in on this one, but the other one's tearing families apart. So I want to wait for that.
Oh, Jesus.
One. Marie asks, if you sat on your own voodoo doll, would you be able to get up?
Yeah.
That was a very simple answer. Is it because voodoo dolls don't work, or is that because conceptually?
It's because it's also intent that goes into the voodoo doll.
But what if? Oh, I guess if you wanted
so
to get
like
up.
If you like if I like for example if I like made a voodoo doll of you and I'm like, oh, this represents you and I'm gonna poke needles in it, if I'm like not also like feeling
intending
to like I want this to hurt or I want this to happen, nothing's gonna happen.
Got it. It's about intention.
Yeah, it's like, at least that's my vague understanding of the voodoo situation. I don't mess with that shit, because that's like one of the few island things where it's just like, you don't.
Boom,
don't mess with it.
Luis is here.
It's a Luis.
Luis.
I did it.
You made it. How was the subway?
Welcome to We Stayed Late.
Welcome back to We Stayed Late, the podcast where I just got off the metro.
How was the metro? I was telling metro stories before you got here.
Oh, yeah.
We coined a name for ourselves, too.
Oh, yeah. We're the Metro Boys.
That's a band.
There's
that exists.
There's four of us.
It has the feeling of a band.
It does
exist. I think that's like Miley Cyrus's brother's band.
Is the Metro Boys?
I think so.
Does it have a Z?
No.
Okay, ours has a Z.
They have a song called like Shake It, and it's really actually kind of good.
Oh, are you talking about
the
Metro
Train?
Shake,
you're talking about Metro.
Shake It.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's Metro.
Oh, well, yeah. They're the Metro Boys.
We're the Metro Boys.
Yeah, Metro Band. It's a British band.
It's just funny to say everything with the word boys in it.
Yep, we're the boys.
Well, I made it. How's it going, everybody?
Good. What did we miss? What happened? What was your journey like?
So I uploaded something to... Oh, my God. It took forever to upload to
Frame.io?
Google Drive.
Oh, Google Drive.
So we had to export ProRes 422, which is like the highest quality. Oh, God,
I forgot you were doing that.
Yeah, so an hour. And then it was like about 9 gigs we had to upload on Google Drive. And Google Drive,
no.
I love Google Drive. Like, it's great, but when you sometimes try to upload from it,
it takes a bit.
Yeah, and when it's too big of a file, it just doesn't understand. Great at playing, great at downloading, great at not having to take up your entire drive like Dropbox.
Yeah.
You want a Dropbox file? Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to have to take up space on your Dropbox.
Yeah, we were just discussing this. Yeah. So Dropbox, in order to accept a file, you have to add it to your Dropbox before you can do anything with it.
Yeah.
Which means if you don't have the space, you can't receive that file.
Right.
Right, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a way to make you have more space.
I'm torn. I have both Google Drive and a Dropbox
for different things. Specific reason.
Yeah.
I liked having Dropbox because if I used my personal computer for work stuff, I always had a copy of work stuff for myself just in case shit went down. I was like, you have no access to your like work files anymore.
No,
at least I have a copy myself. Cause that's just
now,
the internet
Drive,
business here
Google
where I'm
Drive
like,
now integrates into your, so I store local versions of all of my Google Drive files on
with Google Drive as well, which if I had to pick the two, I would pick Google Drive over Dropbox, but it's just as like, it's, but Google Drive, like, I like Google Drive for its like sharing capabilities of with other people.
Yeah,
and it plays videos a lot better than Dropbox.
It does. It plays them a lot better.
And I hate playing videos through Dropbox. It's the worst.
What's going on with your mic over there?
It's a little dangly.
Oh no!
Oh no!
I just got to hold it and caress it.
Okay. well, you made it just in time because we were just talking about questions.
Okay.
Yeah, we were trying to save questions.
And I was gonna save the question, and I was like, "Oh, I'll just do it, and we can ask him when we get to it."
Yeah, we made it just in time.
But you're here. So Jules Run.
Jules Run. Hi, Ben.
Oh, hi, Ben.
Hi, Ben.
He said, this is tearing. Oh, I'm getting a phone call. Let's see who this is from. Oh, but it's from my dad. Hold on.
You're gonna answer it on the podcast?
Yeah, hold on. Hey, Dad.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, we're doing the podcast right now. You're on the podcast.
Hello, Spencer's dad.
Hey.
I'll give you a call back when we're done.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll talk to you then.
All right, love you. All right, bye.
What a good man.
Okay. Jules Run says, this is tearing, I'm pretty sure it's a Buffalo Squad. Yeah, Buffalo Squad apart. You guys know Buffalo Squad?
Oh, the Buffalo Squad. It's the fans of We Stayed Late have united under the Buffalo Squad. And one day we'll have enough money to see them.
So this is tearing Buffalo Squad apart. Do slider, the word slider, and cider rhyme?
Slider and cider?
I'm about to get a slider and drink a cider.
Yeah. Do they
rhyme? Yes. Here I come with a miter.
I mean, things rhyme based on how you pronounce them.
So here's the thing. Aaron says, who thinks it does not? And then multiple people said this with the little arrow thing. Crazy Katie says, Jules Run and L. Ernest, Liam George, think they have different I sounds.
Slider and cider?
Yeah, and they said, I'm confused. How do they pronounce those words? And
do they pronounce one sitter?
No.
Or slitter?
He did this. Now, you guys aren't going to be able to hear it on the podcast, so you can go to the Slack. In fact, go join the Slack. You'll be able to hear what we're hearing. I'm going to play this really quick.
Slider. Whoa. Okay, I heard what he said.
Wait, can you play it one more time, please?
Sure, okay. So he's saying... Yeah, actually,
you pay.
Slider, cider. There's an I and there's an I.
I don't know if they could hear that. Could you guys hear that?
A slider.
I did hear that. He had, like, I mean, it's a different accent. So for him, those do not rhyme.
Can you pronounce it the way he pronounced it in case they couldn't hear it?
Slider and cider.
But he said it like a soider.
Yeah, he has like a little bit more on there. But he's going sigh and sly. That's the difference.
See, we hit it sly and sigh. I'm about to slide into that cider, baby.
Right. But to me...
But I'm not sliding into that soider.
To me, the rhyming happens at the der part. So slider and cider.
But I'm sliding
because
right
of the der, not because of the...
I'm sliding right into that cider. You know what I mean?
So I think it depends on your accent, where
you're from. It definitely
depends. Right? But I think that, like, as a whole, I don't have a pro. Like, if somebody said the word, does the word cider and like, no, does the word slider and side her, like beside her.
Beside her.
Does that rhyme? I would lean on the yes.
Yeah, I would lean on yes too. For even the sake
though
of like
a her, even though there's an H sound, for the sake of like being able to
be poetic.
Be poetic.
Yeah.
Because if you only had exact rhymes like that, it'd be hard. But I could see the argument if you've been pronouncing it your whole life with a different accent. Like if you have an accent, if you're pronouncing those words the way they're pronouncing them, and you've been doing it your whole life, I could see the resistance to being like, I don't think those rhyme. You know what I mean?
Can you play that one more time?
There's so many many Caribbean songs that if you were to speak it without the Caribbean accent would sound horrendous because they don't rhyme anymore.
Yeah.
Due to the accent.
Slider, cider. There's an I and there's an I.
Oi. A cider.
Oi.
I'll have a cider.
It sounds like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I can see it. But even then, that's still so close to me that I'm like,
there's
that
an
would
I,
rhyme.
And then there's an
I. I. There's an I,
Baxman
and there's
an I. Baxman said, I still hear Yanny. You guys know that reference.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm from the South. And so for me, that's
if you could make it
rhymable.
Work, if you could make it
slider,
work, that's rhymable.
Yeah, I got a slider and a cider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that where we
regionally,
those rhyme. But it's up for debate. You can go debate it on.
I'm sorry,
questions.
Buffalo Squad. I guess if you're in Buffalo and that's your bubble, then I guess it doesn't rhyme.
Yeah, because
if you're from there, you're born there, and that's all you know, I don't think it does rhyme.
Yeah, maybe not.
I will say that.
We should take a poll in
Twitter.
Could we separate it regionally? Ooh, what's going on over there? What are you doing?
Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the Hulk. That is...
Were you smashing a water bottle? Yes. Oh, you're smashing a water bottle.
It's smaller in the garbage.
Ah, look at that. Saving
spacey.
Space.
Little tip. Smash your bottles to make it smaller.
She said, see, even though both at DeSoda and I have lived here for years, we both say the words as rhymes. It's just y'all two weird-ass mofos who are originally from the area.
It's true.
So I think it's a regional thing. And you know what? Teach their own. If you don't want it to rhyme, don't make it rhyme. If you want it to rhyme, make it rhyme.
I'm going to make it rhyme all day. I'm sorry, Jewel. Ben.
I will say it's a weird thing. Like I caught myself one day because every once in a while I'll slip into my accent. Usually when I'm not around anybody because that's like my tone.
Yeah.
And it's when if I'm like singing to myself, I tend to go back to the Caribbean accent. And a lot of songs, to me, I'm like, oh, man, this would kind of sound cool if they, like... Because I have to change... I only time I realize that I'm doing it is because I'll hit a lyric that doesn't sound right if it's not... If you put it in a Caribbean accent, is all of a sudden you're like, oh, and then I realize what I'm doing. I'm like, oh, I've been singing this with an accent. That's why this doesn't work anymore. But then I'll change it. But like, oh, fuck it. I'll just stick with it.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting though. I always feel like I never know a band is British until after the fact because I'm like, oh, they're from America because they sound American.
Yeah.
When they sing.
Well, everybody just sounds the same when they sing, I think. Right?
Yeah, but if you like,
because we change our vowels.
If you force a Caribbean accent on a lot of songs, there's something you're like, oh, okay.
Bacon.
Yeah, bacon.
Bacon.
I'm trying to think.
Harry Bacon.
I'm trying to think. It's like I'll do like the Killers a lot with a Caribbean accent. Somebody told me that you have a girlfriend. You put it in. You're like, oh, okay.
Dynex asked, I would love to know what you guys think about Eighth Grade since it's out in LA and New York now.
I have not seen it.
I haven't seen it yet. Have you seen it yet?
Eighth Grade was a great year.
No. I'm talking about the movie.
It's a movie.
Nope.
Okay. I have not seen it.
I'm really excited for it. It's Bo Burnham's movie.
I've heard good things.
Wrote and directed. It's supposed to be good.
No, I don't know.
But that makes me nervous because every time I hear like, because I've all heard good things from other people who are like creative writer people. And I'm like, ooh, but that's a very specific like thing to tickle that nerve of a writer to enjoy it versus like a regular person. So I'm wondering like if it's actually good or not because I'm like, it probably is really good, but it's probably like a weird good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't heard about it. Thank you, Dynex. Dynex for telling me about this movie.
I'm really excited about it. But it's out right now.
Oh.
But since none of us have seen it, we should talk about Eighth Grade, our year of Eighth Grade. What do you remember from that year? What do you think about?
Not great things. I don't like middle school.
Eighth grade specifically. What do you remember?
I remember my school was weird because we had ninth graders.
Uh huh.
And the year I was in eighth grade was the last year we were going to have ninth graders in it. So I was never able to be like the oldest at the middle school. It was always like this weird, like,
because
eighth grade is usually you're the senior in middle school. Yeah. So you have like free rein. I never had that experience. But in eighth grade, I didn't hang out with anybody in my grade because I was an outcast and bullied a lot. So I hung out with ninth graders and I hung out with the seventh graders. I did not hang out with anybody in my own grade because my fellow classmates were assholes and they made me cry a lot.
What that a bunch sucks. Of, don't be a dick. Don't
but
be
that's
dick.
When I learned that Skechers were cool. I liked Skechers. I hung out with like the punk, not even, I won't say white because they were just like, let's say white passing Latino people because like my middle school was also like very inner city. And yeah, I don't think there was any white people in the school actually. Maybe one. But I hung out with the, oh my God, what was her name? I don't remember her name, but she was like the first person to introduce me to like punk music.
Well, cool. What album? What album?
Mind you, like punk for like
what's,
the time.
What's the album? What's the album?
Bring
us back.
Like, like Green Day and shit. Oh, like stuff like that. Where it was just like, oh, okay. And she taught me, like she would wear Airwalks, but I couldn't afford Airwalks. So I got Skechers.
Yeah.
So I hung out with her. And then the seventh grader I hung out with her, like her nickname was Skittles. And she had green hair, which I thought was also really cool. But she turns out she was like a liar. But like in this, yeah, like she would just make up shit. But yeah. I was like too like, oh, okay, whatever.
Right.
And I hung out with like just other, yeah, just other like younger kids. Cause I was just like, you guys aren't mean to me. And you think I'm at least tolerable cause I'm in an older grade.
They haven't turned yet.
No,
like rotten milk.
Yeah, and I was, but that's also the year I got into Sailor Moon, so that part was really good.
Oh, really?
That's good.
Yeah. It was around eighth, like middle.
For some reason, I thought you got into it earlier.
Like it's whatever summer of '95 was when I got into Sailor Moon, and that was like right before that's eighth grade.
Luis's new album, Summer of '95.
Summer '95.
I got into Sailor Moon. I watched Rosie O'Donnell after summer school. And so I got like, it's like, I kind of like that's, it's essentially like worst year, like social wise, but like the year that started my whole career.
That's
because I got into cartoons.
I'd like to give a shout out to Marie who answered this question on our Slack. She answered it the same way we're answering it now. And she says eighth grade was half my life ago. I don't really remember it all that well. other than that was the year I was pretty much fed up with bullshit from people in general. I think it's a good idea that I learned at a young age that life is too short to deal with fake people. It might have made me a little cynical, but in the long run, I think it was more beneficial rather than being a doormat, which is kind of what I was before.
Oh, yeah.
I was so against confrontation that I became a doormat. Then I got sick of it and stopped being as, quote, nice, which I think is huge to learn at. I mean, eighth grade, it's really hard because you want people to like you. So I just want to
eighth grade is truly the brink of...
standing up for herself, especially at that age, because it's hard. It's really hard. So good on you, Marie.
Yeah.
Good job.
Eighth grade really is that brink of, like, you are, like, not a child anymore, but like it's in. But everybody else is like, it's like hitting that button of like, and now it's like proper puberty, now it's because like you're going through all that no matter what,
you're going to parties,
but like, no, God no.
I had one party.
You had a party?
Wait,
in eighth
so tell
grade?
Us about your eighth grade.
It was just a Halloween party, like? Oh, I was not social. Well, because the boys and the girls are separate.
You went to a separate school.
Well, it was all, we were separate but we were in the same campus,
right?
And I was scared to death of
was
girls.
There a wall between you?
There was a courtyard. So we could see the other girls through the window.
Weird.
So we were able to like have signs. But I mean, that I was still afraid.
Yeah.
But eighth grade was the year where I like socialized with like a girl for the first time. And it was very
interesting.
Cool. But yeah, no, I think even though we had high schoolers there because the high school people were there, we still kind of felt like we were.
Oh, was it middle school and high school?
It was all the way. It was pre-K 3 years old all the way to high school.
Oh, I remember telling us this.
Was it a Catholic
right.
school?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And so, but the high schoolers were on the floor above us, so we still felt like we kind of dominated,
right?
You know, the middle.
Yeah,
floor,
yeah. You were on the
school.
Middle school floor.
You know, it was a lot of fun shenanigans. We were like had balloon fights. Oh,
I'm gonna post this picture in the Slack.
Yeah,
but this
do
was
it.
Me in eighth grade.
Wow,
that's amazing.
That's great.
Yeah,
it was a humble time before you know.
Yeah,
everything else that happened during high school. But you were old enough to like wanting to be a teenager.
Right.
But not,
not quite there yet.
But not quite there doing like shady shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like it
you
was
weren't
like,
corrupted
did
yet.
You have
yeah.
dances? Right, you still, did you have dances in your school?
I think they started introducing dances. So yeah, we had an eighth grade dance and I was scared to death.
Yeah. I remember, so I had my very first quote unquote girlfriend in seventh grade.
Oh shit.
And I remember we broke up in eighth grade.
Oh.
And that's my memory of eighth grade. Broke up over text messages.
Oh no.
In a Carl's Jr. drive thru.
All of a sudden I was like, oh, that's right, yep. You're young. I was like, text messages in eighth grade.
I did ask.
I honestly
someone out
don't remember. Oh, did
over
you?
Text message.
Oh,
yeah.
In eighth grade?
No,
or no, just in general.
Later in high school. I was so scared. Yeah. I was so scared.
That's the sweetest thing.
And I was like, I don't know if I told you this or not, but you know, I want to see if you want to go out.
So aww. I sort of had a weird. Well, this is seventh grade, but then it was the relationship I was in for part of eighth grade. But the girl that I was in a relationship with, relationships using a very vague term, guys. It's seventh.
Did
grade.
You guys hold hands?
Yes. So
you go to the movie theater.
So
together?
Yes. So
go to chill.
That's like so straight was up. That's serious business in middle school.
Nope. Yeah. Nope. It's very not serious. But anyway, the there was drama because what happened was we had dances in middle school, like straight up sixth, seventh, eighth grade dances all the way through. And in seventh grade, we were at the dance and I started dancing with this girl who I ended up becoming in my first relationship with, whatever, you know, seventh grade. it's weird to like say it like that because it's not really actually.
Yeah, because
you know,
it's like you're kids.
Yeah, you're children. But anyway, so we were like dancing and everything was fine. And then all of a sudden she like ducks out and goes. And I'm like,
what?
What just happened? And I felt like all of a sudden she didn't want to dance with me. And
well,
I was
she
really,
this was in the middle.
She
this was in the middle
ran
of the
away.
Dance.
Yeah. But she was like sort of like she was having a good time and then she was like looking around and then
she like panicked.
Yeah. And she left. And I was like, what is happening? So I went out to get some water and I saw her duck back in from like under the caution tape.
Yeah.
And she was like, I can't dance with you. Because my boyfriend's here.
What?
And I was like, oh, shit. I was like, who's
what?
Your boyfriend? And, God, who was... I don't want to say his name because I don't want to call
name.
People out. No, but the name was really... It was a really, like, weird name. Like, it was a nickname for him. But it was, like, a gross name.
Oh.
It was like, I don't know.
Like Booger?
Yeah.
Okay. Just call him Booger.
So Booger. And she was like, yeah, my boyfriend's Booger. And Booger was known to like beat people up.
Oh.
Whoa.
And I was like, I'm about to get beat up.
Oh no.
I'm about to get beat up right now.
What kind of sitcom life are you living?
And so then I was like, okay, I'm sorry. And I like left and went back to the dance and didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
But then like at school the next day, she found me and we talked.
Uh-huh.
Just like as kids.
Yeah.
And then eventually she broke up with Booger.
Uh-huh.
So that we could go to the next dance together.
Oh, okay.
Was Booger upset?
Yeah, Booger was really upset and I got threatened, but I never got beat up. So that was good. But it was close.
Oh my God.
She basically told him like, if you beat him up, then I'm never talking to you again. So it took her to do it. But yeah, he was not happy. He didn't know about the dance. He just knew about that she broke up and then was with me.
Yeah.
And then was mad at
you
me.
You were just like the next boyfriend.
And I was like,
so he's
I'm
mad.
Not. I'm, you know,
like,
again,
please,
it's eighth grade
I just,
me. So it's, yeah. So.
I just, she's pretty. I just want to hold her hand. Sorry.
I didn't even know what that meant at that age.
Oh.
But, you know, whatever.
Do you ever, like, when you start dating early on and you, like, you're walking closely by each other and your, like, hands are very close, like, inches apart.
This?
Yeah, yes. Inches. And you're just like, you know, like you're tantalizing each other. Just like, we're so close to touch each other's hands, but we're not going to.
Yeah.
And then you just like bump into each other.
Like, oh, yeah.
And then it finally happens and you finally hold hands and you're like, oh my God, we're doing it. It was just like a it was like a momentous thing where like.
It's the simple
you just
things,
feel man. Them close to you.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
You finally, like,
yeah, it's a weird.
Because it's both. It's like you are accepting this. Right. I'm definitely taking this
it's,
in.
It's the same. It's the same thing as like in. It's not the walking one, but it's the hand on the table one,
uh-huh.
where it's like you just. Your hand is so
close. And you're sitting yeah. so closely uh-huh. with yep. them. You're like, you're with a group of people, or maybe not. You're watching a movie, but you're purposely sitting like inches
you're
from
like,
them.
You're like, yes, contact.
Yeah, contact. And you can feel their energy
yeah,
next
yeah. and
to
like,
you.
And like hands are like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, like
and
this. Like, you're like.
Like resting against each other, but you're not. Yeah, that's. Oh, that was like the.
Your little.
That's
in eighth grade, that was like
that's
the.
That's like the. Honestly, the like I was thing. Still very much afraid of boys up until like high school.
Yeah,
I was
not.
Afraid
of girls.
No, but not like. Afraid of boys in the sense of like, oh, I like them. I was just straight up like, no, boys are like gross. Like I was a super late bloomer on that front of like, yeah, I was just like, because there'd be girls like, I have a crush. I was just like, but he's a boy. He's gross. Like I was just so like cartoons. This is like what, like why?
I
want to say I think ninth and tenth grade, tenth. My accent. ninth and I can't say tenth. Tenth.
There you go. You got it.
Those grades were probably year. Like the happiest I was because uh-huh. it was still before I realized boys were a distraction and I was into cartoons. I was in a new school where all like the people who like I hated were not in the school.
Yeah.
And I had a new group of friends who were all kind of like nerdy and I was like, this is great. This is like yeah, no worries. And I was like a nerd, but I found like nerd friends and it was just like solid. And then like started liking boys and just like, oh no, this is a distraction. No.
that's when it all gets difficult. Yeah. I feel like every time I saw a girl in high school, it was just like, all of them are like, you're just all cooler than me. Like, I can't even talk to any of you. You're too cool.
Yeah.
But it's okay.
It's a normal thing for that age.
Yeah.
That's supposed to happen.
Whatever.
And people in the grade above you seem like they're so much older than you. And the people in the grade below you feel like they're so much younger.
Yeah, grades, like, yeah. The grade difference was like a thing. Which, honestly, I kind of, especially for high school, I think that should stay. That's good.
Yeah.
A senior should not date a freshman.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, at the time, like,
in,
I remember,
school,
like, a freshman
in high school.
In high school.
Yeah.
Like, I remember even that, like, being like, oh, they, wow, they're going out with a senior? Whoa. Like, right. But now as an adult, I'm like, oh, no, that's bad.
I was a
sophomore. That's real bad.
I was a sophomore dating a senior.
Oh.
That's not as bad.
Because it's the reverse.
It's on the cusp because it's a sophomore.
It's still a little icky.
That's, yeah,
it's like,
weird, right?
One grade apart, fine.
It's weird.
Like a junior dating a senior, uh-huh. fine. Sophomore, like one grade apart, fine. Two grades apart, that's a little, like, I would
it's
just
like
have to assume the older.
Line.
It's on the line, and I have to assume the older person has to be really immature. Like, you have to be a goof.
Or the sophomore is very mature.
No, that's never a thing. That does not happen. No. It's the older person has to be a goof. Because that's weird. That's real weird.
It's weird. It's really weird.
And the two grade difference is a icky. That's just real icky. If you're in college, you should not be dating a high schooler.
Oh, no.
Unless, even then, like, I say this as, like, me, like, my, because I dated junior to senior, and he went to college. But he went to the college he knew I was going to.
Oh, so.
Like, that was, like, the weird. Thing. He was just like. I was like, oh, I'm going
like
to the university.
Purposefully?
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to the University of Florida because they're the vet school. That's where I'm going. So you could make your decision. And he was just like, well, there's a med school there, so okay. And so, like, he went to that school. So it was like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, that's kind of like, even then I'm like, that's weird. That was weird.
Yeah.
But, like, we were in contact literally, like, the whole time.
Yeah. So. It wasn't like just you met some random college person.
No. It was like we went to school together. It was like we were still definitely, like, talking and hanging out.
You're in the same mind space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But even that, now, but looking back, I'm like, man, that's a little weird.
It's a weird thing that's such a big, not a big deal then. I mean, it is sort of a big deal then, but then now we're like not.
Brains are
now
so
we're
different.
All just different,
like,
ages.
Yeah, brains are so different in that range, like that, like that teenager to like, I want like 22.
Yeah.
That age range is just a fucking mess of like, yeah. Yeah, you're not a grown up till you're 25 anyway, by the way.
Hey, I'm grown up. We're all grown up at this table.
Like, but that's a scientific thing. That's like your brain actually like stops the pubescent development at 25. And then you got a good 5 years to still be kind of a sponge. And then when you hit 30, you're apparently stop. And it's much harder to absorb everything. And I was just like, I'm going to fight that tooth and nail.
That's well, that's good. That's part of, you know.
Well, you fight it by like continuously trying to like you essentially don't lose the learning muscle if you keep trying to learn things.
Right.
But if you stop and you try to go back into it, it's hard. This is like why like I've been trying to learn Japanese for like a year and I have made like barely any progress because
give me a Japanese
I'm not
word.
A sponge. Hold on. I learned a sentence.
Banana?
Oh, nana banana?
Nana banana.
Seven bananas?
Yeah, that's right. We learned it. Yeah,
nana
that
seven.
We learned that in here when we were at the...
Yeah.
No, but I started using my library card because you in LA, if you use your library card, you have access to a whole bunch of different services.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And one of them is an app called Mango, and it's a language learning app, and it's significantly better than Duolingo. Although Duolingo is good for learning the letters... Mango's good for learning phrases, and I started this week, so I'm trying to remember the phrase I learned.
Not a banana.
Hold on, how do I say it's hot outside? Atsui desu ka?
Es muy caliente.
That's very good.
Which is, I believe I just said, it's hot outside, isn't it?
I'm convinced.
But
I want to know.
I like it because it teaches you what the punctuation means. Like Duolingo is just like here are the things,
right?
While like I learned that E is like if you want to it that means you're it's like saying it's like saying it's like it's an extra expression on something. Like you don't have to say the E, it's like saying isn't it.
Oh,
like isn't it?
Oh, I see.
If you say E, like it's just the sound of that. It's like because you could just say you could just say
it's
like,
hot outside.
Yeah,
it's hot.
Samui is cold, so you could be like samui desu, which just means it's cold.
Samui desu.
But if you're like eat samui desu ka, which I think ka is
samui desu ka.
Yeah, which ka is a question. So it's like
oh, you add that.
So, but I'm learning that ka's a question. I didn't know ka meant was a like, but it doesn't mean literally a question mark. It just having ka at the end of a sentence implies that it's a question. It's a different kind of pronunciation.
So you because when we
desne,
speak,
oh desne, that's what it is. So if I'm saying it's cold outside, e samui desne is like oh, it's cold outside, isn't it?
Oh, it's like. Turning it back to them.
Yeah. The E part adds the, like, you're being part of a community kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, look, I'm learning
that's
things.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty great. That's
yeah,
that's
I was trying to remember the other things. Like, I forgot weather already. I forgot. It was like, the words were weather.
It'll take time to soak in.
Yeah. You know weather, what I mean? View. Obviously, the greetings.
Yeah.
So, but I like, it's like, ah.
So I'm going to do, we're coming up on an hour 30 here in a minute. So
do we have one more question? Because Louise,
well, I was going to actually do a segment on the, we made
shit. Oh yeah. Oh, we made shit. Okay.
What were you going to say?
I thought you were going to go another segment, but we don't have time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
We don't have time for this segment. It's the Potter segment.
Oh, wait.
Oh, wait. We always have time for Potter segment.
Hold on. Let me do this, then we'll do the Potter segment.
No,
okay.
Can we do Potter first, please?
No, I'll do this, and then.
Let's just do Potter first.
Do Potter
that's
first. Fine. I want to know.
It's a lot because
yes,
I finished Goblet of Fire.
Yes! Oh, it died.
Oh, it's okay. Hold
did
on.
It die?
What if that's where we cut off the podcast?
No, it worked.
Okay.
We blew out the speakers.
We blew out the speakers. What do you think? How do you feel?
Oh, my
did
God.
Did you cry?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I loved this book.
Yeah,
yay!
Right?
It's
so good.
I love Fire, and I can't believe how much I read. So I can't. I mean, I honestly, we don't have enough time to even delve into everything, but shit's getting
real. It's an hour 23, so we
you're
got
fine.
Shit. We got time.
Shit is getting real, and no one, I am, okay, I don't even know how to process. Honestly, I don't know how to process everything. I can't. You know what?
How do you feel about Cedric?
I was coming. Oh my God. Oh my God. That was so fucking sad.
Yeah, right?
When he came in and he was like, hey, it's Harry Potter. Let's go together. We'll come together and finally unite and hand this company.
Uh-huh.
I was like, yes. You know, we're going to win this and do it. And then it sends him out. And like, my mind is literally like
what just happened?
Word by word by word by word. Like, I am just waiting to see what's coming next and next, especially when they go into the cemetery. I'm
yeah,
just,
and you're like, what is like, happening?
I am completely turned around and just, remember that feeling. Just waiting word by word to see what happens. And then he's like, okay, remove, kill the spare.
Kill
one.
The spare. Yeah.
And then I was like, no. And then I hear it's like, just, and then the sound of a body hits the floor. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And then I look and it's Cedric. His body's dead. I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
It got real.
Yeah. It gets real. And you realize like all these, it just, everything is getting real because the description of Voldemort, how he's finally back in the game after like book three and how
he can touch him.
That is exactly what I was going to say next, that he can touch him and that he used his blood so that he is using his, you know, like his strength.
Yeah.
And that he's, you know, and just how I was like, how in the world is he going to get out of this? You know?
Yeah. That's the amazing part about that book. And about that part is that there's whenever I'm trying to write something and I put characters into really dangerous situations, the hardest part, obviously, how do you get them out of these dangerous situations? And she does it masterfully.
And
the twin core situation too, where you learn about the wands and how like the wands.
So
and you're
that is the great thing is that there was a lot of exposition that followed afterwards, which I was totally fine with because it was like as
what's justified.
It's well, you needed to breathe to because like all this stuff just happened.
What
you're
has
like,
been going
what?
On? And you can finally get. And when we find out that Moody wasn't really Moody,
yes,
I was like, what the fuck is going on? Because he grabbed him and his and the description was like his eyes were like bulging out of his face, like and the grin that he had, and it's just like how crazy that these people are giving themselves to the Dark Lord.
Barty Crouch Jr.
Winky.
Winky. The way that Winky was like just trying to like, you know, be on his side and not really seeing, you know.
Yeah.
And
so
really
good.
pushing him like, come on, sir, let's have him, you know, give him more freedom.
I
want to
say like Goblet of Fire, like I read this as in college, because that book had just come out when the first movie had come out.
Uh-huh.
So
I cannot wait to see these movies because I don't. I
they're fine. the books are
way better.
I know,
but it's still.
But I want to see because I want they're describing me these things and I like the maze or I want to the like I don't.
Yeah,
know.
It's really cool. To
it's
see
cool
those.
To see the action sequences that are done in the books in the movies. Those are always done really well.
So like the whole ceremony, the like all everything is very visual, and I want to see these things. But I did get a little confused about some of the spells that were happening.
Yeah.
Because
which ones?
It was just a lot of like the Crucius? Is that
Crucio.
Crucio. Is that just like...
It's pain.
It's just a pain.
It's just straight up pain.
Okay. I was afraid to Google something because I felt like it would reveal...
It's the three unforgivables. Cruciatus, the Imperius, which is the mind control one, and Death.
Yeah, and Avada Kedavra.
Yeah.
I love... Yeah.
I'm so glad you finished it.
Oh, it was so good. I just stayed up all night, like finishing the last three chapters.
That's so good.
I was gonna say, like, that's the first book that ever made me like cry. Like,
I was
in
gonna
sadness.
Say, so when I did my re-listen a couple of years ago, that was the first. I'm pretty sure if I remember right, that was the first book that I cried. Not the first book ever, but like of
Potter.
1, 2, 3. 4 is the first time that I cried again.
Yeah,
when I was listening to it,
that
just like
well,
just
because
like,
it, I'm just saying like no, that's the first book that made me cry.
So
like period.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like
when growing
like,
up, yeah.
Like yeah, and I was just like wow, and I was like why was I in college?
But
still,
so
like,
but
it was still such an emote like because it was it's yes, innocence, Cedric. It's yes, innocence, and it's just like because of all the characters, it's just like Cedric didn't.
No, he didn't
you know?
Deserve it.
He did not
it.
Deserve,
didn't deserve
it like, at all. And you're just like, what?
It's masterful.
And
oh,
the way that he
so
was like,
good.
Please bring my body back to my parents. And then he was like, I'm not going to make it to the trophy. I'm not going to make it to the Wizard Cup. And then he does the Asio or whatever thing where the cup comes to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he flies out. And I'm like, oh my God, that is a perfect execution of like, we've had that set up at the beginning.
Set up, payoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's like the thing that we need to get out of this situation.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I can use that spell I learned
the,
in
like,
chapter 5.
Right.
Yeah.
Because like Voldemort is literally a tombstone away from me. And now you just use that and you pop right out. And the way that they describe Dumbledore, because at all this time we've seen Dumbledore as like calm and has a twinkle in his eye. And at this point, he's turned up. Like, he's like...
You see the wizard that he's known to be.
You see a little bit of, like, the passion and, like, the fire that he has. I'm so and how glad pissed off
you,
he
got,
is.
You got through
and
it.
And how fucking so Cornelius Fudge is like, that's impossible. And how can we trust Harry Potter?
But it's just like, you have the evidence.
We have the evidence.
And then
all
they
of
fucking sucked out Barty's soul. You're like, no, but that was the proof.
Yeah, it's like, and Dumbledore's like, listen, bro, I'm going to do these things. You can either come with me or not. The fact that is that you need to realize that Voldemort's here. And if you don't realize that, it's going to be a lot worse later.
Yeah, then if you just do it, like, if you just
handle it now.
Like, he has that quote. He was like, you know, I could give Harry Potter a potion to, like, make him go to sleep and have him forget everything, but it's better for him to face this head on and realize, like, what's going on.
Yeah.
And he's like, the boy needs to be here when I interrogate Moody. Because, like, what's the female, the teacher, the one who turns Transfiguration?
McGonagall?
McGonagall. She was like, the boy, we have to bring the boy away. Let's take the boy to the nurse. And Dumbledore's like, no.
No.
He needs to stay here and he needs
to see
it.
And
he needs to have closure.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It's so fucking good. It's so good.
And so, yeah. And now
Cedric,
it's like.
God damn it.
Cedric.
Yeah, we're in, the middle of the series. Now it's time to get going because shit's about to get real.
Oh, it gets real,
and
real.
How, and how great of a center stone
yes
is this book, like the way there are 8 books.
It's truly is like right
seven, 8 movies.
Oh yeah, 8 movies, yeah. but seven. Well, there's Cursed Child at the end. That's like don't count it.
I still want to.
Okay, then we'll say there's 7 books.
I
there's
do
7
see,
books in a play.
I want to see the
books
play.
In a play.
I want to see the play. I want to see it in person to see if like it's better as a play, because that's what it was intended to be.
Yeah, yeah.
But as a book,
so do you not consider it canon? Like when you're saying there's 8 Harry Potter books, do you say there's only 7 in a play?
I say 7 in a play.
Okay, so there's 7 Harry Potter books, and this is like dead center in the middle of them, and it's a great center point.
And it answers questions like why. It's I have a lot of a lot of thoughts, but like the Gillyweed when he came in, I was like, what the fuck? Why at this like I was kind of turned around where it's like he's been working hard, he's been trying to find a solution, and then
Neville,
what's his name? No, the little elf,
Dobby.
Dobby.
Oh, Dobby
in.
Gives
he's
him
like,
the Gillyweed,
sir. Gillyweed, sir. And I'm like, this felt a little unearned, and how he just got the Gillyweed right away.
But then
you find out that they've been trying to lead him into the cup the whole time.
Yep.
Also, the only thing that I feel a little bit unsatisfied is the Hermione storyline with her.
Hermione and
Victor Krum?
Victor Krum.
And her to free the elves.
I will say that's...
I felt like that got brushed, and I thought it was going to come back with something.
It becomes like... This isn't really spoilery. It's just... It kind of always stays as like a kind of a side.
Yeah, it's there.
Situation.
Okay. It doesn't. It's
there.
It's not wrapped up at the end of that book, but it continues on.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there is a Murphy, come here. There is like a.
There's a moment, but it's. I will say it's kind of like okay.
Because I did like that little part of I like that side storyline of Hermione.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Well, it's definitely like enhances her character and who she is.
Oh, I fell in love with
like,
Hermione in this series.
And like yes,
Spew.
Also, like when people are like Hermione's not black, I'm like, really? You don't think Spew would not be started by a black woman? Like all of a sudden, when people started making Hermione's black fan art, I was just like, oh, that makes that makes 100 more sense.
And all the hate she gets constantly.
Oh yeah, I was just like, oh,
she gets tortured
yeah.
all the time. Like when she keeps getting like. She turns into that cat, or what was it?
She messed up with the
Polyjuice
because she got the wrong hair.
She got the wrong hair, and then she keeps getting hit with spells. Like she had her like teeth turn real big.
Her advantage.
Right. But she always gets in the mix of it, you know. And so, like, I really, I really liked.
Yeah, Hermione's brave. She puts herself out there.
Yeah,
Hermione's the shit.
But yeah,
her.
I couldn't. I was like, oh my god, what is gonna happen? He's gonna. I mean, I know he's not gonna die, Harry Potter. But I have no idea.
Just a few more books.
I have no idea how
he's gonna get out of that.
Yeah, because you know, when he said the Dementors are would be my people, I was like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. Because it makes sense. Yeah. It all makes sense.
Like, you have the freedom to go suck all the souls you want. It's like, all right, we'll be on this ghost side.
Yeah.
But they're kind of like, Dementors always weird me out as a creature, because they are a creature, but they're born of intense, like, sadness. Mm-hmm. They're not conscious. They're just creatures. They're literally
ghosts?
Sorry, the idea that they're just sadness and conscious, then my thoughts.
Well, when she talked about how, like, because people asked her, like, how did you come up with Dementors? Like, what she's like, they're essentially, there's a personification of depression. Mm. Like, that's what they are. And because,
yeah, they feed on human happiness.
Yeah, they feed on happiness. It's just and pure. And that's why I like laughter. And that's why I like laughter.
But it's like a terrible death, isn't it?
It's like they suck out your soul, so you just become like a shell of yourself. Like, your body is alive, but there's nothing there. Mm. Which, like, depression at its, like, peak, right, you do not feel anything. You don't feel sad. You don't feel any. You feel just nothing. So you're like a shell of a person. So in that sense, it's just like, oh, but I'm like always wondered how the heck do you, like, get them to guard Azbit Caban? Like, how do you, like, talk to these things that aren't, that are literally creatures? How do you get them to, like, it's a weird, because they don't really have a conscious. Or at least I never got the impression that they had a consciousness.
No, not at all. What about, okay, sorry, last thing. Like, Moody was an auror?
Yes.
Yeah, an auror.
What is, I'm always afraid to look things up online because
you don't want to get spoilers.
It's wizard cops.
Wizard cops.
Okay. But, like, advanced cops. Like, it's almost like wizard detectives.
They're like detectives, yeah.
Wizard detectives is a little bit more.
Okay. They're protectors of the wizarding world.
Uh-huh.
And they're masters of the craft.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they're like, I'm sure there's tiers. Like, there's got to be, like, wizard FBI. Because
you haven't met Tonks yet, right?
No, I don't know.
No, that's next book. Is it next book?
Order of the Phoenix.
Is Tonks next
Tonks
book?
Tonks is in... Yeah, because she's in the Order.
Oh, because the next book is Order of the Phoenix. Yeah. Okay,
She's in the Order. Yeah, that's right. I didn't know if... Because I knew that Moody had shown up already, and he's in the Order, so I didn't know if...
I love how they just slip in, like, oh, yeah, you're untouchable if you're with... what's it called? His family, his Muggle family.
Yeah, that's I like that he finally gave a reason he has to go back to the Dursleys.
Be with them, the
you
Dursleys.
Have to go back to the Dursleys because you have to, even though it's fucked, you have to consider that place home because you get protection there because of your mom's blood. Right. And they're like, "Well, son of a bitch, damn." I still think that's kind of bullshit in the grand scheme of things.
They probably just had to, like...
We'll get to that when you're completely done. We'll have a discussion.
Yeah. Okay, last thing and then we'll go. Made Shit, I just want to give a shout out to Kush, who took some photos. He said, I don't like some of the ones they selected, but here's some photos I took. And there's West End Hotel Kenya on Instagram. He took some photos of a hotel, which is cool.
What's his Instagram handle?
The Instagram is... Let me click on it. They look cool. There it is. It's the West End Hotel Kenya official Instagram.
Oh.
And he has like some photos that he took of the hotel on
Hell
there.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that's cool. It's always great to like get your work.
Make all the shit. Make all more the shit.
Sandra says on Slack made this really cool calligraphy thing for her class project, and it's super if it'll load, there it is, and it's like super reflective, like she used gold and black, and she sort of made like the woods a border of
something like
branches like, of trees, and she put, sometimes people leave you halfway through the wood, others may deceive you. You decide what's good. You decide alone, but no one is alone. And that's a quote from Into the Woods, which is the reference that she's making to the things around the edge. But that was her final for the calligraphy project.
I love
really cool.
Yeah, she has these branches on the border, and just the concept of like this. It's like I don't know how to explain it. Like, not chaos, but just the fact that like designing something with a lot of
organic vibes.
Yeah.
Yes, like that.
Keeping it organic, but also keeping it readable and clean.
Yeah, it's really cool.
That's really hard, you know, to give like that kind of feel. So that's pretty.
Yeah, because cool. I mean, there's so many different branches, and so to be able to create that kind of organicness without it looking just like a mess.
Yes.
Right. Like exactly if I were to do this, it would just look like a mess of lines.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's dope.
Yeah. And then finally, Martin uploaded a scene cleanup he did of a flower, looks like. Maybe he did some editing on the flower. It's loading right now. But it looks cool. It looks yeah. It. Yeah, the colors are really vibrant, and it looks really nice. And
it is, yeah. It's really nice.
So good job, guys. Anyway.
I like this segment.
Yeah, I do too. I like seeing the stuff that you guys are making. There's plenty more stuff. We'll go back up through the feed as we have time and see what other people are making. But if you're making stuff and you want to share it, you can share it on the We Made Shit Slack channel. You can join that. And go join the Slack. Yeah, go drop some questions for us.
I gotta see if that link is still working.
Oh, probably not.
Oops. Yeah, we'll put up a new link.
I'll fix it tomorrow.
Anyway, we are at 1:40, so we better go.
Woo!
Woo!
Okay. All right. Well, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad we got to make it worth your time to come because you got 40 minutes.
I had to tell somebody about this. Oh yes. My god!
Glad you read it.
Yeah, that was the number one. I have other things I can talk about that I want to talk about, but we can talk about that next week. Yeah. So okay. Great.
Cool.
Well, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye. Sleep tight. Don't let Voldemort kill you.
Oh, Murphy, you want to say bye?
Say bye, Murphy.
Now he won't bark.
No. Of course. Now.
Ha 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 ha.